Testing, testing. Good morning, WMUC. Good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to WMUC-FM College Park 90.5. Welcome to Moral Hazard. I am your host, Stephen Fung. You may remember this. We're here every 10 p.m. on a Thursday at 90.5. It's Moral Hazard. We're here. We're never gone. We're always here. Don't get it twisted. Keep it straight. We are always here, 10 p.m. Thursdays, every single day until May 16th when I am gone. I'm gone on the greener pastures. I've subscribed to the economy. I am taking a job, hopefully. You know, if the economy crashes in between now and May 16th, that's a different conversation. But currently, there is a deadline. There is limited love you can give to Moral Hazard. So give it as much as you can, as fast as you can. Because there's a time value to your love right now. There's a deadline. You need to make sure you're getting it in as much as you can. Because as soon as, when I'm gone, I'm gone. Moral Hazard's gone. Welcome to Moral Hazard. I'm your host, Stephen Fung. There's a new year upon us. This is season 4 of Moral Hazard. We're doing new things. We're doing great things. We're doing some not good things, but mostly great things. Not to toot my own horn, not to toot my own radio show's horn, but we're mostly doing great things in season 4. Season 3 was September to December. Season 3.5 was December to January. If any of you tuned in, it's okay if you didn't, because we really didn't talk about much news. But season 4, we're back into it. Moral Hazard is back into it. And you may be asking, what is Moral Hazard? Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this pre-written script that my script writers gave me for the new semester, for the new season. The new year is upon us. And while your lifelong struggle with the gym persists and does not change, the world keeps moving. You can't go it alone. But if you want to find some solace, just the slightest bit of solace, just a little bit of comfort, a friendly voice in this cold, gray landscape of 21st century America, Moral Hazard is with you. We are with you. I am with you. If you are sitting in your living room alone right now, maybe in your bedroom, your wife is sleeping, your husband's sleeping, you're tuning in to Moral Hazard on 90.5 FM, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I could really use a companion in 21st century America. I feel like everything's so difficult, everything's so scary. Well, Moral Hazard's here for you. Moral Hazard is here for you, and we're with you every Thursday at 10 p.m. to talk about business news, markets, policy, economy, more, culture, whatever. We'll talk about anything. We don't care. We're just here. And we'll talk with you. Consider this a parasocial relationship where you can't talk to me, but I can talk to you. And it's good. It's good for you. It's good for your mental health. It's good for everything. But I will say, we may talk about business, markets, finance, economics. This is not financial advice. Moral Hazard is a nonprofit, not registered, but we kind of, you know, we're a nonprofit. In spirit, we are a nonprofit. Moral Hazard is a nonprofit that does not affiliate with any corporate groups, any corporate sponsors, no nothing, except for our generous contributors. And I would like to take some time to thank the Moral Hazard Orange Club for their donations of $1,000 or more. If you would like to donate $1,000 or more, you can be a part of the Moral Hazard Orange Club, and we will give you a shout-out every episode. This is a new thing. So I'd like to thank our gracious donors and members of the Moral Hazard Orange Club, Amazon Incorporated, the Heritage Foundation, Oracle, Meta, and Microsoft. And also the Cato Institute, and also the Donald Trump Presidential Administration. For those of you not familiar with the structure of Moral Hazard, for those of you sitting at home thinking, oh God, what is going on right now? Why are they thanking all these random corporations and NGOs that I'm not interested in? Why are they thanking the Trump administration? I'll try to brief you, all right? Moral Hazard attempts even, to cover the past 7 days in business, economics, and policy news, and more. But we'll just stick to those three. But what can be said about the past 7 days since today, past 7 days, that was not already hallucinated by Joe Rogan in one of his isolation tank sessions? The past 7 days have been ridiculous. Truly nothing could have prepared me for the roller coaster that has been the past week. All right? A lot of tech earnings have come out in the past 7 days. We've taken a look at some of them, and some of them are truly ridiculous. Tech earnings came out for Q4, largely defying market expectations. Reactions to these earnings have, largely defied logic. The past week, we saw Meta and Microsoft and Apple report their earnings. Meta and Microsoft reported almost identical earnings in terms of magnitude. They reported very similar earnings reports. They showed off their excellent expectation-beating revenue, and then equal and opposite CapEx expenditures to the surprise. In the sense that, we had a surprise in revenue and a negative surprise, bad surprise, like a jump scare in CapEx. And while they had almost equal magnitudes of quarterly reports, Meta and Microsoft's market reactions, the market's reaction to Meta's and Microsoft's earnings could not have been more different. While Meta, with its pitiful track record for AI and hardware, saw a 10% increase in stock price after burning cash upon cash upon cash on its Reality Lab segment, which used to be Oculus, but is now mostly just their Meta glasses. Microsoft, the ever-successful enterprise software company with tried-and-true AI integrations in its offerings to customers and enterprises, fell 10% after burning more cash on its AI investment. On the other hand, Meta, which burns money like Joker. They burn money like Joker from Batman. You ever seen The Dark Knight where Joker burns that pile of money? That's Meta. That's Mark Zuckerberg in clown makeup burning his money. And when he gets good revenue, the stock market, they throw a little jubilee. They throw a jubilee over it. They throw a midsummer festival over it. Meta's up 10% while Microsoft's down 10%. Make that make sense. It was the same thing. They had the same earnings. And time again, the public are left scratching their heads in this bizarro world that we live in. That is the tech sector. Where an objective loser, like Meta, Mark Zuckerberg's little child, Facebook, but with a name change, Meta can burn piles of cash and have a 10% up day, while a giant like Microsoft, richer than Croesus, will have the second largest single day drop in market cap in stock market history, in New York Stock Exchange's history, when it does reasonably well. Do you know what this reminds me of? I was thinking about this. This whole Meta Microsoft thing reminds me of a couple months ago when Larry Ellison, the decaying corpse founder of Oracle, shout out our sponsor, became the richest man in the world following Oracle's earnings, where they didn't make any money. They fell short of expectations. Oracle fell short of expectations. I believe it was their Q2. I don't know. They have a weird earnings schedule. But they had an accounting gimmick that shoehorned in the value of incomplete contracts into their earnings. Contracts that hadn't been fulfilled. Money that they don't have, that they haven't seen from contracts with God knows what clauses. They were able to shoehorn that into their earnings. And through that, through these RPOs, remaining performance obligations, that's what they call it. Look it up. Oracle RPO. Through the Oracle RPOs, through this accounting gimmick, I stress, this is not real accounting. this is, you know, this is a clause in the generally accepted accounting principles that allows them to take contractually obliged earnings and then shoehorn it in before the contract's even finished. But they've used this accounting gimmick to frenzy the markets into making Larry Ellison the richest man in the world without doing anything or making any sort of valuable promises. They haven't done a single thing. It's disappointing. It pains my soul to see Larry Ellison as the richest man in the world. Thank God he's not anymore. The Bloomberg Billionaires Index now puts him a bit lower, but it pains my soul to see Larry Ellison at the top off of nothing, literally nothing. He made no money. This is business news right now. People say, oh, Moral Hazard, you're a little too political. Sometimes you talk about things that aren't business news. This is business news. Oracle did nothing. They had less their earnings fell below expectations, and because they were able to gap their stupid contractual obligations, those contractual obligations could disappear because a different candidate got elected for Wyoming's governor. It could be anything. The standards for RPOs are so low that you are getting, that the markets, not you, the markets were getting scammed in front of their nose and they did nothing. And then Larry Ellison was the richest man in the world. It's since trimmed back. He's one of the richest men in the world now, but still, it's ridiculous we even had that conversation. But that's what it reminds me of. That's what it reminds me of. Meta and Microsoft doing the exact same thing, and then Meta goes down 10%, and then Meta goes up 10%, and Microsoft goes down 10%. That's exactly what it reminds me of. But that's enough about tech. That's enough about tech. Tech's had its time. We're moving on. We're on to greener and greener pastures. We're on to greener and bluer and redder and yellower pastures. We're on to pastures. All right? We're moving on because, you know, we only do business news here a little. Gavin Newsom, you may know him as the governor of California. Gavin Newsom's out and about in the recent weeks, seemingly teeing up for a presidential run in 2028, the California governor and Disney villain has made his lap around the financial sphere in the past weeks, going back about 10 days from now. Last week, he was in Davos, Switzerland, for the World Economic Forum. Ooh, World Economic Forum. For those of you who listen to Blue Ring, you know, you may know what goes on in Davos. For those who don't, you may not. Davos is where the business leaders of the world, the financial leaders of the world get around, they sit around in chairs and they talk to themselves for a day or three. I believe Davos is 3 days. But so Gavin Newsom was in Davos, inexplicably in Davos, trying to set himself up for a 2028 run. He's courting the financiers and the business moguls of the world. He's courting the college-educated Bloomberg listeners of the world, essentially. He showed up at the World Economic Forum last week in Davos, and he was doing cartwheels, absolute cartwheels. And there's no hyperbole, there's no figurative language when I say Gavin Newsom stood in front of cameras and microphones and did cartwheels for whatever mic and camera would tilt towards him. It was disappointing. It was pathetic. It was sad. During his talk at Davos, he showcased his prop knee pads. He handed out these prop knee pads. It was a little gimmick. He said he taunted the law firms, universities, corporations, and world leaders that bent their knees for Trump's administration. And so this concept of handing out knee pads, the knee pads were signed Donald Trump. Handing out Donald Trump knee pads to all the people of the world who bent their knee to Trump's administration. I get it. It's funnier without the context. Without the context. I love a good prank. I liked when Matan, the YouTuber Matan, stormed the stage of the Game Awards and hijacked, I believe it was Elden Ring or whatever. I liked when Eric Andre interviewed Alex Jones at the RNC. I am a good sport. I'm a good sport for public pranks. Steve-O, I like him as a concept, okay? I like all these guys on Instagram Reels right now going around with the Meta glasses and filming themselves doing public humiliation in random stores. I like a little pranking. I like a little disruption to a professional convention. That's what Gavin Newsom did. He went to the World Economic Forum and he disrupted the convention. He had a scheduled time slot, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like Gavin Newsom. I don't trust a man, a 50-something-year-old man who has veneers. I don't trust it. Most of all, I don't trust a municipal government official who travels all the way to Davos, Switzerland. Keep in mind, he's in California, United States. Travels all the way to Davos, Switzerland so he can set up for a presidential run in 2 years. It's not even... Normally, you do this at least, at most, 365 days in. I don't like a guy who sits in front of a Bloomberg News panel and sets up a false dilemma against a stupid tax proposal suggested by some random service worker who's making $17 an hour. A stupid tax proposal suggested by someone who makes $17 an hour. He sets up a false dilemma between that proposal and his way of California progressive tax and says this is the only way we can tax the rich and it won't work, so we won't tax the rich. Just because some $17 an hour idiot came up with a tax proposal for a one-time 5% tax on the rich, just because that doesn't work, we can't tax the rich at all. I don't like that. I don't like that Gavin Newsom does false dilemmas. I don't like that he treats his audience like they're foolish, like they're stupid, like they're so blinded by their love of liberal policy that they can't recognize the fact that he is doing so many crazy fallacies right now. Straw man. False dilemma. That's pretty much it. But he's doing that. And he's treating people like they're stupid. I don't like that. I don't like when even the Bloomberg News interviewer says to his false dilemma between either California's current progressive tax policies or the proposed idiotic 5% one-time tax on the rich. I don't like when even the Bloomberg News interviewer says, hey, why don't we just tax equity so we don't have this issue with the ultra-rich hoarding equity so they don't have to report it as income, so they don't have to fault, they don't have to pay up the California progressive tax. I don't like when in response, he says, I mean, he doesn't say anything. He does his best Bertram impression from Jesse, and he goes, oh, but looking up the constitutionality of that is so hard, and arguing that is so hard, and auditing all the equity is so hard. That's money for your government! Gavin Newsom, don't make me get angry. Right now I'm calm. Right now I am so calm. I'm so zen. My guru would be fascinated by how zen I am right now. Gavin Newsom, don't make me get angry. If I was the governor of California, if I was in Gavin Newsom's 6.5 male shoes, I would know that my state had the honor of being home to 5 of the United States' top 10 cities by homelessness descending order. And the second highest cost of living behind Hawaii. Why does it cost so much? And then why can't people get houses? I would ask myself that. Maybe because Silicon Valley has turned into a cesspool for the capital owners of the new America, where you can just circumvent the FTC by having a tech company, because all the FTC knows is figuring out how to break up Ticketmaster. maybe, just maybe, I would start coming up with solutions instead of being Mr. Status Quo. And I'm not even being that political right now. I'm not taking a stance against liberalism at large. I'm not taking a stance against the lovely Ezra Klein's book, Abundance. Abundance by Ezra Klein. Look it up. Even though I put the informational value of abundance about as high as a copy of Geronimo Stilton. Scholastic Books hasn't reached out for comment, but I saw copies of Abundance in the Barnes & Noble's children's book section marked with the I Can Read Level 3 sticker. This is all to say, though, that I think Gavin Newsom... I don't think Gavin Newsom needs to align with any particular solution I have in mind, okay? I've got my own solutions in mind. I'm not going to tell you them here, all right? Because that's not for me to say. But I will say, right now, Gavin Newsom is getting all this attention. He's getting all this pomp, and he's getting all this circumstance, and he's doing a Sabrina Carpenter world tour for a presidential campaign that believes in nothing and believes in doing nothing. Gavin Newsom. Dear Governor of California, Gavin Newsom, I've got some knee pads for you. Take Zoran Mamdani. Gavin Newsom, why don't you look at Zoran Mamdani? He's the mayor of New York City. He wasn't in Davos. He was in New York City, probably doing work. I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions about Zoran Mamdani because I respect him. He, despite his wife being so terrible at art, Rama Duwaji is the worst artist to ever be the first lady. Okay? That's like too specific. Rama Duwaji, your art sucks. Zoran Mamdani, I love you. But Zoran Mamdani is over in New York City, and he's dealing with the $12 billion budget deficit his city ran up over the years, like credit card debt. He's campaigning. Governor Hochul, another Newsom-like politician, to change things. If New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani wandered around at Davos like Gavin Newsom did, and he handed out knee pads, I wouldn't be mad. Because A, Mamdani doesn't wear veneers, and B, Mamdani's answer to what's wrong with the environment that surrounds me isn't his best impression of Bertram from the TV show Jesse. Oh, it's too far. Mamdani does his job. What happened to the days when policy think tanks handed politicians papers telling them what to do differently? Nowadays, everyone's getting their script and it says, keep it all the same. Every politician gets their script nowadays and it says, keep everything the same. Don't change anything. You know what was great? 2018. When homeless people still existed and they were everywhere and no one could afford anything, but somehow everything was expensive for the rich. And of course, we didn't tax anybody. Why would we tax people? So they could leave and go somewhere else? No, why don't we just give them no tax? Hey, you saw that five of California's cities are in the top 10 cities in the United States by homelessness as a frequency of population? Who cares? Just lower the taxes. We need Silicon Valley. Have you seen the HBO show Silicon Valley? We should keep that. If we raise the taxes, we won't have another season of Silicon Valley on HBO. Keep that. California. And I don't want to be like I don't want to be a Democrat. I don't want to be a Republican. I don't want to be a Republican when I say that California is one of the most disappointing states in the United States. It is one of the most mismanaged states in the United States. I don't want to be a Republican when I say that. All right? But I kind of have to. All right? Something is fundamentally wrong with California. Something is fundamentally wrong with California's politicians. Nothing goes right there. Nothing. We say democracy all the time. When was the last time a California politician was elected to be governor that did good on behalf of his constituents? Or her. I don't know. Did California ever have a female mayor? Probably. Their constituent. Everything's the same now. Nothing ever changes in a meaningful way. But I digress because I've got to play you all a PSA. Enjoy this PSA. This PSA is a really important one. It's a very dear PSA to my heart. This PSA is very dear to my heart. This is Best Buddies at UMD.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at Best Buddies UMD.